beautiful people. This is the Michael Slate Show, and I am your guest host, Sansara Taylor. On today's show, we'll be sharing segments from the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show, which airs on YouTube. But before we get into that, I have incredible, exciting, tremendous news. Bob Avakian, the revolutionary leader, the author and architect of a whole new framework for human emancipation, what we call the New Communism, is out now on social media. Yes, he just started his social media accounts at Bob Avakian Official on all the platforms. He's bringing his voice and world-class leadership to the public square, telling people the truth they need to hear and fighting for revolution. And he is straight up at this historic time, putting himself forward because he is a leader who can lead us through this crazy morass and intensifying nightmare and crisis of this system to wrench out a real revolution, true emancipation for all of humanity. So don't miss this. If you're on TikTok, Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter, all the social media platforms, look for at Bob Avakian Official, and you can find him bringing you the truth, hard-hitting, not watered down, the truth you need regularly. Don't miss it. The other thing I want to highlight for you is that the full RNL Revolution Nothing Less show is available at youtube.com/therevcoms. And on that channel, you can find the full, complete, historic 3-part series interview that I did with Bob Avakian together with my co-host there, Andy Z. We interviewed Bob Avakian extensively. He spoke about his life. He opened up his heart, his history, his personal development, but also his political development. He explored the lessons and formative experience that he draws from working closely with the Black Panther Party in their most revolutionary days. He gets into how he went from being a patriotic American, thankful that he was born in what he believed was this greatest of all countries, to somebody who has become an ardent critic of this country and everything it stands for and everything it does in the world down to today, and the most fiercest advocate for an actual revolution and fighter for this revolution to bring about a world without everything America stands for and true emancipation for all of humanity. He gets into the strategy for this revolution. He gets into the future society, what it needs to look like. He gets into all the things that are holding people back, from those who are catching the hardest hell at the bottom of this society to the students on the campuses with the woke lunacy that's taking hold, but also reaching people's highest aspirations for a radically different world. He does all of this and more, gets into the poetic spirit, gets into all of this, but he is hardcore for a real revolution. And there is nothing like this journey, like these interviews. So I recommend you go to youtube.com/therevcoms. You can also find them at the website revcom.us, where you will find hundreds of articles, audio, other clips about this revolution and from this revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian. There are very few people in the public square or not in the public square who would say that these are normal times, or times even close to normal, whatever that has meant. But very few realize that this is one of those rare times when revolution is more possible. And for the sake of humanity and the planet, we need to seize this moment. So the resources I just gave you are indispensable in the situation we are in. So with that, let's begin with the opening commentary from the Revolution Nothing Less show.
My name is Andy Z. I'm a host of this show, and I'm here today with one of our regular contributors, Annie Day.
Very glad to be here, Andy. This show is about making an actual revolution to overthrow this whole system, which humanity needs urgently.
And on this show, you get to meet the revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian. Bob Avakian has developed the new communism, a scientific way to understand the world. He's developed a strategy to actually make that revolution that Annie just spoke of. And the goal of this revolution is the emancipation of all of humanity. And Annie, I'm glad to have you here today helping with the hosting. Our regular co-host, Sansara Taylor, is working on a program at UCLA in the next couple of weeks where she's going to be making a speech that's titled, Actually, Revolution is Possible. And if this revolution isn't made soon, humanity is thoroughly f***ed. So Annie, we have some important things we want to do today that are actually going to reveal the stakes of what humanity faces now.
We're going to start today's show talking about Gaza, a scene of a tremendous war crime happening right before the eyes of the world. And we're going to talk more about the devastation that's being wrought by the U.S.-backed Israeli slaughter. We're going to show to start a social media post from an action that the RevComs did on Holocaust Remembrance Day, where we really brought home to people never again needs to mean never again to anyone. And we took that message first in front of the Holocaust Museum in Los Angeles, and then we brought that message right into a very busy shopping mall. Watch.
We are the RevComs. It's Holocaust Remembrance Day. And we are out here remembering the victims of the Nazi Holocaust, the 6 million Jewish people that were slaughtered in an industrial way. And we are out here today to say never again to anyone. And that means right now standing up against the U.S.-backed slaughter of our brothers and sisters in Gaza. If you are not protesting, if you are not speaking out, if you are not standing up against the slaughter of people in Gaza, of little children, then you are saying it is okay. And you are saying it is okay. You are the one who is disrespecting the victims of the Holocaust because you want to repeat that. And that is exactly what the leaders of Israel are doing right now. They call Palestinians animals. They threaten to wipe Gaza off the map. They say their words, they say Gaza should be turned into a slaughterhouse. This is Nazi language. It is exactly the same kind of dehumanizing rhetoric that the Nazis use to make you justify their extermination of the Jewish people. We say never again.
Never again.
For anyone.
For anyone.
Never again.
Never again.
For anyone.
For anyone.
Never again.
Never again.
For anyone.
So, Annie, you were in that video just for a second, but the main agitator there was speaker for the RevComs was Rafael Kadaris. Regular viewers of the show have seen him. He's on our show. He's a regular contributor. And he began with a very important point, that if you are not standing up and protesting against what the U.S. government is doing in supporting Israel and what Israel is doing in committing a genocide against the people of Gaza, then you're complicit in this. And it was a very important statement. And I have to say, lately, there's been just the level of protest has fallen down.
Yeah, it's true. Way too little protest across this country while the genocide is increasing. However, there was a bright spot in Chicago a couple days ago.
So what you saw began as walkouts from high schools and secondary schools in Chicago. They went to City Hall to demand a ceasefire. And since the city council in Chicago has passed a resolution demanding a ceasefire, we're going to get more into this in this show, particularly about what is the problem that's giving rise to this genocide? What is at the root of that? And what is the solution?
Yeah, and I think we want to show, before we get into that, we're going to show a second clip from the RevComs action on Holocaust Remembrance Day, where you also saw how sharply two-sided things got, how sharply polarized, where you had these vicious Zionists speaking out just bloodthirsty language. And then we were able to draw forward some of the pro-Palestinian sentiment with more determination.
All right, let's watch.
The leader of the revolution, Bob Avakian, says, after the Holocaust, the worst thing that has happened to the Jewish people is the state of Israel. And he said, Israel has done something truly incredible. Israel has managed to turn Jews into Nazis. And you might say that's an exaggeration, but listen to the leaders of the state of Israel themselves when they call Palestinians animals, animals. When they threaten to nuke the entire Gaza Strip, when they threaten to wipe Gaza off the map, and they are doing that right before the eyes of the world. Genocide means the deliberate killing of a people in whole or in part.
Get out of here!
Exactly what Israel is doing.
Get out of here!
What side are
you on.
Out of here.
I'm on the side of humanity.
No, we are on the side of animals.
Never again for anyone.
Never again for anyone.
Stay with us, y'all. Never again for anyone.
Hey,
never again for anyone.
Never again for anyone.
Never again for anyone.
Never again for anyone.
Calling on people.
That's right. Bullshit. Bullshit.
Official on social media.
See you later. Bye. But what is the state of Israel doing? Israel is murdering.
For the Zionists, the pro-Israel people here. Do you think the Holocaust justifies another genocide?
This man tried to say Israel is life. Israel is based on the ethnic cleansing and genocide of a whole people. That's what Israel is based on.
Zionism is a racist ideology. Zionism is a Jewish supremacist ideology.
That's right.
No different from the Nazis. No different from South African apartheid. No different from the white supremacists in this country. We need a world without supremacy in any form. We need revolution in a whole new world. We say never again.
Never again.
For anyone.
For anyone.
Never again.
Never again.
So that was really two-sided out there. And, you know, people get hit with this all the time, this kind of bullshit from these Zionists. But a question that seems to trip a lot of people up is, what is Israel supposed to do about the October 7th Hamas attack? And doesn't Israel have a right to defend itself? Well, Bob Avakian has been speaking directly to the people in new social media that he's doing every week, and we've had some of that on the show. We want to go to part of his 6th posting where he speaks to those two questions. Watch.
Well, what is Israel supposed to do? Just let this attack by Hamas go unanswered, encouraging further attacks? What about Israel's right to defend itself? That is another argument raised by Israel and its supporters. The truth is that Israel, like apartheid South Africa before it, is an illegitimate state, and as such, it has no legitimate right to defend itself. And its so-called defense has repeatedly involved the deliberate killing of civilians, including large numbers of children. What is Israel supposed to do? Israel is supposed to stop brutally oppressing the Palestinian people. But Israel, as a racist, Jewish supremacist, Zionist state, cannot do that. It cannot do that because murderous oppression of the Palestinian people has been built into the state of Israel from the very beginning. And Israel could not exist without brutally oppressing the Palestinian people. And since Israel cannot stop brutally oppressing the Palestinian people, Israel, as a racist Zionist state, must cease to exist. The real question is, what is the legitimate way to fight against the state of Israel, and what is a just solution to all this? The answer is definitely not to kill off all the Jews in Israel or drive them into the sea. The answer is the abolition of the state of Israel, and in its place, the creation of a revolutionary state in which the government and the laws do not promote any religion and do not favor one people over another. And instead, there is equality between Jews and Palestinians. The answer is also definitely not the two-state solution being promoted by the Biden administration. Such a two-state solution would really amount to nothing more than a powerful state of Israel continuing to occupy land stolen from the Palestinian people, while the so-called Palestinian state created with this solution would be a bitter joke, a puppet state, merely a patchwork of separated small territories surrounded and dominated by Israel, with the Palestinian people still subjected to terrible oppression and deprivation. The answer is that the fight against the state of Israel must be waged on a revolutionary basis, with the goal of putting an end to all oppressive relations and all inequality among people based on race and nationality, sex and gender, and all relations in which one part of society exploits others. And the urgent need is for a revolutionary force to emerge to lead the struggle on that basis.
So that was Bob Avakian on his social media speaking directly to the people. His fourth through seventh social media posts deal with Gaza. And what you just heard, this is so important to get out to all those young people and everyone who's taken to the streets and protesting in other ways, who care about humanity, to really get this in their hands so they can see that revolutionary answer that he puts forward. It's so important. It's radically different than anything else that's out there. And it's important for the revolution we're going to make here. And it's important to get out in the world so that people around the world can take that up.
Yeah, it's really true. There's nothing like Bob Avakian live, direct, unfiltered, with the clarity about what's happening, why, and the revolution we need in your role in that. So people should follow these accounts, spread them to everyone you know, and I think really struggle with people to listen themselves and to spread it themselves.
Yeah, we just want to take, Annie, I think we should just take just a couple more minutes, not too much time, but that... You know, we spoke earlier that some of the protests, or a lot of the protests, is dying down. And one of the things that's happened has been tremendous repression, principally in Gaza itself, with the killing of journalists, the shutting down of journalistic outlets, and repression against professors, college presidents, and all of this. But the genocide has really grown. It's actually at horrific proportions. And we want to bring a little bit of that reality to you. You need to stand up. And this is for the future of people in Gaza and really for the future of humanity, because as we brought out in the last show, this conflict is potentially widening into a greater war in the Middle East and maybe even beyond that.
Yeah, I mean, the danger is tremendous. I think one of the points RevCom.us has made is that Netanyahu, or Netanazi to actually call it, is basically using October 7th and the Hamas attack as an excuse to attempt a final solution for the Palestinian people and basically make Gaza unlivable for Palestinians. And you see that. I mean, they've killed over 26,000 people, over 10,000 children. In the last 3 months, they've, you know, the housing in Gaza, they've destroyed like 60 to 75% of it. It's staggering.
When you destroy whole neighborhoods, even what's left there's no buildings, no services, no nothing. This is a genocide. And they've also systematically been bombing greenhouses and places where people produce the food that people would need to live there. And look, Netanyahu and these, and one third of the Israeli cabinet, the governing cabinet, attended a rally of thousands of people who were cheering and dancing for what? To actually wipe the Palestinians out of Gaza and to resettle it for Israel. This is and meets the definition of genocide. And it's something that our government, or your government, this government, U.S. imperialism, is backing to the hilts.
Yeah, and then you have the U.S. on the one hand that sends 10,000 tons of munitions to Israel since October 7th alone. And on the other hand, you have the U.S. that just cut off all of its funding to the U.N.'s main relief agency that operates in Gaza, which is already starving, you know, full of starving people. And now the people of Gaza are going to have no a connection to relief, to the medical aid they need, to the food aid they need, to any running water that's not contaminated already. And you already have a situation of the mass spreading of communicable diseases and almost no hospitals left. This is all laid at the feet of U.S. imperialism and the actual nature of why we call Genocide Joe Biden. Genocide Joe is brought to life in a video that we saw on social media this week that we want to play.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
I think it's about time we stop apologizing for our support for Israel. There's no apology to be made. None. It is the best $3 billion investment we make.
USA.
Were there not an Israel, the United States of America would have to invent an Israel.
We are America, second to none, and we own the finish line.
I am a Zionist. You don't have to be a Jew to be a Zionist.
My administration's support for Israel's security is rock solid and unwavering.
So with all that we've shown today of the genocide that's being committed in Gaza and the responsibility we have in this country, I want to end this segment with what Bob Avakian said on this show in an interview we did with him in the fall of 2022. Watch this, and if you've got a heart for humanity, you'll hear this and you'll act on it.
We can no longer afford to allow these imperialists to dominate the world and to determine the destiny of humanity. They need to be overthrown as quickly as possible.
Once again, let me remind you that you are listening to The Michael Slate Show.
The stupidest thing we heard this week is from Snoop Dogg's recent interview. He said, quote, "Donald Trump, he ain't done nothing wrong to me. He's only done great things for me. He pardoned Michael Harris. I have nothing but love and respect for Donald Trump."
Hey, Snoop!
That's from Snoop Doggy Dogg. Snoop, who went from Trump critic to Trump bootlicker. Ew. Snoop, who is known for calling out Trump and his supporters as motherfucking racist. Listen to this.
Seemed like he disrespecting every color in the world and everything that ain't what he is, which is a racist. So with that being said, the people that voted for him got exactly what they wanted, and he gave them what he said he was going to give them.
All you people for the federal government that got not getting paid right now, ain't no fucking way in the world y'all can vote for Donald Trump when he come back up again. If it is, if y'all do vote for him, y'all some stupid motherfuckers.
So what happened with Snoop? Apparently, in January 2021, after Trump attempted a coup and tried to overturn the results of the election, Trump pardoned Michael Harris, co-founder of Death Row Records, the record label that's responsible for launching Snoop Dogg's career in the first place. So now Snoop Dogg's thinking about what's good for him and everybody else. I got my mind on my money and my money on my mind. Really, Snoop? Trump's all right now because he did you a solid? Trump praised Confederate generals, called African countries whole countries, and wanted to use the military to shoot Black Lives Matter protesters, but you're cool with Trump now because he did you a solid? Try telling that to Colin Kaepernick, who lost his job for kneeling in protest against police brutality, and to all the athletes who supported him, whom Trump referred to as sons of bitches. Try that line on them. I'm sure you guys understand, Trump did me a solid. Try going to the women who lost the right to abortion and tell them, I respect Trump, he did me a solid. Go to all the immigrants Trump says that he's going to round up and put in concentration camps. Trump and I are cool now. He did me a solid. Everyone knows you can't criticize someone if they did you a solid. You know, people ask me if I support axe murderers, but the first question I always ask them is, did the axe murderer do me a solid? You know, I actually decided to squash my beef with axe murderers because they never axe murdered me. I mean, I know a lot of people had a beef with Hitler, but he didn't f*** with me personally, so who am I to criticize? Snoop, you're saying you love a fascist, white supremacist, and genocidal racist because they did you a solid and because they haven't lynched you yet. So f*** everybody else. As Bob Avakian said in his series, Donald Trump, Genocidal Racist, Donald Trump hates black people and everyone who is not a white, English-speaking, Christian American. If he could, he would kill off a whole lot of them and put many of the rest in jail for life or drive them out of the country. So I got a message to Snoop and to all the other black people who are running around talking about how you're with Trump now because Trump did you a solid or gave you a check. It's time to stop licking the boots of the oppressors and get off all this self-serving, me, 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 money, money, money bullshit. And look, that doesn't mean going with genocide Joe Biden either. It means getting with the RevComs and getting organized to overthrow this whole damn system of capitalism imperialism.
You are listening to The Michael Slate Show. We're going to take a short musical break and be right back.
Long as I remember, the rain been coming down. Clouds of mystery pouring, confusion on the ground. Couldn't live through the ages, trying to find the sun. And I wonder, still I wonder, who'll stop.
The small border town of Eagle Pass, Texas, is the scene of a political standoff between Biden and the federal government and the fascist governor of Texas, Greg Abbott. On the face of it, the struggle is over who has jurisdiction over the border between Texas and Mexico and how to deal with the flood of mass migration. But on a deeper level, this is a flashpoint that concentrates the sharpening differences between different sections of the rulers of this system, differences that are tearing the society apart from bottom to top. The fascists call the wave of desperate people fleeing their homelands for basic survival an invasion that is destroying our country. Bob Avakian answered this in a talk he gave in 2003, Revolution, Why It's Necessary, Why It's Possible, What It's All About.
You can just hear these reactionary fools saying, well, Bob, answer this. If this country is so terrible, why do people come here from all over the world? Why are so many people trying to get in, not to get out? Maybe we can imagine someone like Vice President Dick Cheney, that crooked mouth monster and worldwide mass murderer. Maybe we can imagine him saying something like this. Yes, Bob, why is that? Why? I'll tell you why. Because you have f***ed up the rest of the world even worse than what you have done in this country. You have made it impossible for many people to live in their own countries as part of gaining your riches and power.
Last week, a crew of RevComs went down to Eagle Pass to bring a revolutionary understanding and to learn more. I'm going to be joined in just a minute by Coco Das, one of the RevComs who is part of that crew. But first, here's a social media video of Coco at the border.
We are a team of RevComs and supporters who have come down here to Eagle Pass, Texas, to bring the message of revolution in a very fraught and intensifying situation. We don't have an immigration problem. We have an imperialism problem.
A standoff between Federal Border Patrol and Texas state officials is intensifying following a Supreme Court ruling in favor of the Biden administration.
In this clash between the federal government, which is mass deporting, Biden has deported more
immigrants than any other president, and the Republican fascists led by Greg Abbott, who have occupied this park and who are letting people die in the river. In that clash, we are not siding with one side or the other. Yes, these razor wires should come down, because we actually have to fight for the interests of humanity. The revolution to overthrow this system of capitalism and imperialism. It is because of imperialism that people are being forced to migrate under very dangerous conditions. We are followers of Babavakian. There is a constitution for the new socialist republic of North America written by Babavakian. We demand a whole new way to live and a fundamentally different system. You need to step into this fight with us by donating funds. We have come here from all over the country to stay in this small town. Your funds can make all the difference as to which direction this goes. Are we going to wrench open an opportunity to make real revolution here?
So I'm here in studio with Coco Das. Coco was part of the team of RevComs that went down to Eagle Pass. She's a writer, a revolutionary, and has been on the editorial board of Refuse Fascism. So Coco, welcome to the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show.
Thanks. Great to be here.
So Coco, what was it like to go down to Eagle Pass, Texas?
Yeah. So, you know, first, we really didn't know what to expect. We knew we had only read in the newspapers and, you know, heard sort of about the showdown at the border between the Border Patrol and the Texas National Guard. So when we, you know, we were very excited and, you know, apprehensive, we didn't know what the scene would be like. So when we first got there, there was sort of this eerie calm and quiet over the town. This is a very small town, with a, you know, a small downtown area. You can see the International Bridge, some cars and people passing over. But the thing that you notice immediately is Shelby Park, which was the cultural and, you know, natural environmental community center of this town, is completely under lockdown. It's, you know, surrounded by walls, razor wire, you know, military grade concertina wire, Humvees, people, you know, armed guards from the Texas National Guard. So, you know, there's, and the one thing about this town is it's really encircled at this point between the Texas National Guard that's taken over the park, it's occupying the park, and Border Patrol, which is further out. And in terms of a showdown, it's not apparent. In fact, it looks like Texas National Guard, the fascists that Greg Abbott has coalesced here, have all the initiative, and Border Patrol is pushed further out, and, you know, doing their own at their own checkpoints further north from the river.
So you guys spent the weekend there and talked to a lot of people that live in Eagle Pass. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so, you know, it actually didn't take long to uncover this turmoil beneath this calm exterior. The town of Eagle Pass has been a binational, bicultural, integrated international border. Most of the people we met have family on both sides. They may even live on both sides. A lot of people are U.S. citizens. They work in Eagle Pass, but they live in Mexico because it's cheaper to live there. You know, we spoke to Jesse Fuentes, who owns he's a business owner and an environmentalist. He runs kayaking tours on the river, and he's been there, you know, his family's been there for three generations. He's very rooted, not only in the culture, but in the environment of the river, knows it really well. And he said, since National Guard, you know, put 8 miles of razor wire up along the border, took over Shelby Park, and, you know, has really brought down brutal repression, which has caused the deaths, not just of a few migrants, but several migrants, including a mother and two children a little over a week ago. He said, everything's been ruined by this. We talk to other people who have, you know, a lot of deep sympathy for the migrants, but there are certainly, you know, questions that they raised. You know, for example, you know, should they make better choices? You shouldn't cross the river when the flow is so heavy, when it's dangerous like this. You should wait till it's safer. So, you know, we were taking this message to the people that we don't have an immigration problem. We have an imperialism problem, and we need and we demand a whole new way to live, a fundamentally different system. And, you know, this was provoking to a lot of people. We got into a lot of conversations, not just about the causes of this migrant crisis, and the standoff between, you know, this fraught situation between the federal government and the Texas National Guard. But also, you know, is revolution possible? What would make this a world worth living in? So we got into a lot of really, you know, beginning and, you know, deep, interesting conversations. Everywhere we went with our banner that said we don't have an immigration problem, we have an imperialism problem, revolution, nothing less, it caused a huge stir. We took it to a skate park and, you know, there was an immediate reaction. But then, you know, through some struggle, we found out that, you know, among these youth, they are questioning. There is division. You know, some of the young women said, yeah, we want revolution. Whereas, you know, one really vocal young man said, you know, all the Trump fascist talking points about migrants being, you know, rapists and drug dealers. So it's, you know, it's a beginning, but it's really been important for us to step into this scene and bring revolution and bring, you know, the only there's no actual visible force that's standing up to these fascists.
Well, let me ask you, is there responses to that revolutionary message from the people in Eagle Pass?
There was a lot of receptiveness. And, you know, one thing that we were bringing to people is that there is actually leadership for this revolution. And we introduced them to BA. We played clips from his social media messages, especially number 4, where he's talking about why you should care about the people of Gaza. But it was very interesting to play it for people, and they were able to make the connection to what was happening in Eagle Pass and why you should care about migrants. We went and played it. We played it at a skate park. We also played it at a laundromat and got into some really interesting conversation. So this is definitely something to yield and and bring out to people much more broadly.
Well, that's really rich, Coco. Thank you so much. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you for going down to Eagle Pass. I know that you all are raising funds so that you know, for the trip and so that you can go back. So thank you for being on the show. And people should go to revcom.us to read more about the trip and to learn how to donate.
Thank you.
Now, to pull the lens back on how this system is driving this mass migration and why we need revolution to overthrow this system, we're going to play a clip from Bob Avakian's 2018 talk, Why We Need a Revolution and How We Can Really Make Revolution.
The demonization, criminalization, and deportations of immigrants and the militarization of the border. The borders of this country were first established through war and repeatedly expanded through armed conquest of land, especially in wars against the native peoples and a war against Mexico in the middle of the 19th century. This war resulted in over half the territory of Mexico coming under the control of the U.S., and it was fought on the U.S. side for the purpose of expanding slavery, as well as greatly enlarging its territory. Since the end of the 19th century, the U.S. empire has been expanded not only by seizing countries such as the Philippines, Cuba, Puerto Rico, and Guam as colonies or near colonies, but also through invasions and other means, installing rulers dependent on and obedient to the U.S. Today, the U.S. has military forces and intelligence operatives stationed in over 100 countries around the world, and it provides military backing and other aid to governments, including brutally oppressive regimes that it maintains as part of the U.S. empire. And relying on its military as well as its economic power as coercion, U.S. imperialism not only continues to politically dominate, but to economically exploit and plunder countries throughout the Third World. Again, the countries of Latin America, and in particular Mexico, El Salvador, and other parts of Central America and the Caribbean, which the imperialists of the U.S. arrogantly regard as their backyard, have been the special targets of all this. Not only has the U.S. repeatedly carried out military invasions and coups there and backed murderous dictatorships with their bloodthirsty death squads terrorizing the people, but it has imposed economic agreements that have further bled these countries and intensified the misery of the masses of people there. For example, contrary to the lies spouted by Donald Trump, NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, engineered under Bill Clinton's presidency, has not resulted in the U.S. getting screwed, but has actually resulted in the ruin of large numbers of farmers in Mexico and increased the number of desperately poor people there, which has been a major factor in driving many people from Mexico to the United States. Trump only wants to make all this even worse. For all these reasons, along with other factors such as global warming and the accompanying crisis of water shortage in many countries, there are tens of millions of refugees in the world today, driven from their home countries and seeking asylum or simply a means to survive in the U.S. and in capitalist countries in Europe. And given all this, it is the height of hypocrisy and of cruelty for the U.S. government, and in particular the Trump-Pence regime, to talk about the right of countries to secure their borders and bray about building a wall to enforce this, let alone to denounce the masses of immigrants from a country like Mexico as rapists, drug dealers, and murderers, and to enact such barbaric measures as separating children, even very young children, from their parents if they are attempting to enter the U.S. without the required papers, and even if they are seeking asylum from persecution and violence. Here again, while determined and massive struggle needs to be waged against these inhuman actions by the U.S. and other oppressive governments, it should be clear that there can be no solution under the system of capitalism imperialism to the situation involving masses of immigrants and refugees. The only solution lies in the revolution to overthrow this system. A revolution aiming not just to abolish oppression, exploitation, poverty, and misery in one country, but having as its fundamental goal the abolition of all this throughout the world and the elimination of all borders and boundaries that erect walls between the different parts of humanity.
Let me remind you that you are listening to The Michael Slate Show. My name is Sansara Taylor, and I am your guest host.
Sansara Taylor here, taking your questions. Now, a UCLA student recently came up to some of us RevComs and said, look, I agree with you. Joe Biden is a genocidal horror show. I hate him. And Trump is a fascist. I don't like him either. And I even agree that revolution is necessary, ultimately. But that seems a long way off. So my big question is, isn't there something meaningful I can do with my vote in the meantime? So much is happening. There must be something I can do with my vote in the meantime. And the student was very sincere. But here's the thing. This question, what can I do with my vote, is the wrong question. It's a question that is completely
on the terms of this system. It is accepting and working within the options given to you by this system and its rulers. But the system is the problem. Look, the very fact that this system can produce a genocidal maniac like Joe Biden, who's been a war criminal for decades, and that it can produce that bloated bag of fascist feces, Donald Trump, who's openly white supremacist and brags about sexual assault, the very fact that this system can produce these two monstrosities and give them to you as legitimate choices tells you everything you need to know about this system. This system is completely illegitimate. It is no good. It cannot be worked with or reformed or made to be good for humanity. It needs to be overthrown at the soonest possible time and replaced with a radically different, far better liberating system, a new socialist republic as concretized in this constitution written by the revolutionary leader Bob Avakian. So the question then becomes not how do I use my vote in a meaningful way within this system? The question becomes how do we work to hasten the development of the conditions where a real revolution could be made that could bring this system down? And this brings me to the second really wrong assumption embedded in this student's comment and question, which is they said and they assumed that revolution is far off. But here's the thing. Bob Avakian has analyzed the reality that we are living in a rare time when revolution is more possible. The possibility of ripening the conditions that make revolution possible are more proximate than they have been in generations. We are living in a rare time when the crisis of this system is so deep, the rulers are so divided and at each other's throats, when the possibility of winning millions to make a revolution and having the chance to go at it with a real chance to win are within this next period, if we work for it. And this gets us back to these elections, not in the way of who do we vote for, but in a way I spoke to in the open letter that I put out to students and faculty and administrators on college campuses across the country and to all people of conscience. I say, the 2024 election season is shaping up to be pivotal, not because of this system's choices between Genocide Joe and MAGA fascist Trump, but because the sharp fissures between them and across society are likely to intensify through this. Think about all that's unfolding, how divided society is. Society and everyone's lives will be increasingly jolted, and deadly illusions of normalcy will be increasingly shattered by the storms ahead. We are going into a period when millions are going to be thrust into political life and forced to ask and be open to asking questions far beyond what they normally would consider, a time to seize on, to wake them up to the need for revolution and mobilize them for this. And then I go on in my open letter and I say, to have a real chance to influence and lead millions towards wrenching an emancipatory future out of all of this, there needs to be a growing and organized force for revolution now, spreading it and fighting for its advance. This has to happen now, which is why I put out this open letter challenging students and others to dedicate their lives and this pivotal year to hastening, preparing for, learning about, getting organized for, and spreading this revolution. We could have a chance to bring this system down and bring about real and lasting emancipation, not just for people in this country, but for people all over the world. You do not sleep on a chance like that. You do not sit back and let that pass you by. And I'm going to break down why this is real, how this is possible, what your role in it needs to be when I give my talk at UCLA coming soon, to be announced here soon, called Actually, Revolution is Possible. And if this revolution is not made soon, humanity is thoroughly f***ed. I'm going to break down why this revolution is possible soon, why it's the only way out, how it can be made, why Bob Avakian is such a big deal, why we have to follow his leadership, and what your role is in this. So send more questions. I'll take them on as we go, and we will get into it soon at this big event and more to come. We've got some time left, so I'd like to play this.
Bob Avakian, Revolution, number 8. In previous messages, I have made clear why we need a revolution, why this system of capitalism imperialism cannot be reformed. This is a system that functions and can only function by viciously exploiting and murderously oppressing masses of people here and throughout the world. A system that poses an increasing danger to the future and even the very existence of humanity through its accelerating destruction of the environment and its endless wars, which now threaten to go over to all-out war among nuclear-armed powers that could wipe out humanity. So now, I'm going to get into why the revolution that is urgently needed is actually possible. Many people, if they think about revolution at all, will say that what I am talking about is impossible or just crazy. Some people say this because they are invested in this system and don't want to see a fundamental change. Some people say this because they are afraid of revolution. And some people would love to be rid of all the terrible and unnecessary suffering that is actually caused by this system. But they just think the revolution I'm talking about could never happen. Well, the truth is, it could happen. Not just in some far-off place and time, but right here and right in this time we are living in. The basic reason why this revolution is possible now is because those who have ruled this country for so long are bitterly and deeply divided among themselves, while the country as a whole is being torn apart by divisions that can no longer be covered over, and things can no longer be held together in the way they have been for generations. Everything will very likely be coming to a head and coming up for grabs this year, 2024, with the presidential election this year, a sharp focus of the fight between the dominating ruling class parties, Democrats and Republicans, a fight that is very likely to break all out of the bounds of the normal way they exercise power over the people and keep their whole murderous system going. This kind of deep division, and especially this bitter antagonism among the powers that be, has not been seen in this country since the time of the Civil War, way back in the 1860s. This is not a time to be siding with one group of oppressors or another. This is a rare time, a very rare opening, a chance that may come only once in a lifetime, a chance to take advantage of the deep divisions among the ruling oppressors and go after their whole system with the aim of bringing the whole thing down and putting something much better in its place. This rare time must not be squandered, wasted, and thrown away. It must be actively and urgently seized on to bring about a truly emancipating revolution. With everything very likely coming to a head and coming up for grabs soon, the outcome of this rare time can't be left to the brutal enforcers of this system in one camp or another, or to any force which cannot or will not look beyond and lead people beyond the confines of an oppressive system in one form or another. There must be, and there can be, an organized force of thousands in a position to lead millions to take this where it needs to go, to an actual emancipating revolution. With such an organized revolutionary force, it is possible to have a growing impact on all of society. Changing the terms of how masses of people see things and how every institution has to respond. With thousands organized into the ranks of the revolution, millions can be won to revolution. And with millions won to revolution, there could be a real possibility for this revolution to win. Too many people say, yeah, there are a lot of terrible things going on in the world, but I can't do anything about all that. Well, no, you can't. You yourself alone, as an individual, are powerless to do anything about it. But, as part of a larger force of masses of people, you can play an important part in doing something truly important, something truly historic, to change all this. And that is why you need to become part of the thousands that we RevComs, revolutionary communists, are working to organize now, so that those thousands can move millions for this revolution in this crucial time we are living in. This is why everything must be focused now and is being focused now on actually bringing forward and organizing this revolutionary force. So next, I'm going to get further into how it could be possible to seize on this rare time to make this revolution.
And that brings us to the end of another show here at the Michael Slate Show. I'd like to thank Andy Z and everybody at the Revolution Nothing Less Show, my assistant producer, Henry Carson, and all of you for tuning in. And again, check out the RevComs on YouTube at youtube.com/TheRevComs and follow at Bob Avakian Official on all your social media platforms. And remember, the problem is not human nature, it is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. My name is Sansara Taylor. I'll talk to you again next week. I got the biggest lies, I got no time to